Gar and I, as you know, as we sit here together and talk about this, we understand accountability, and we are accountable for what this team did this year. We don't run away from it. We accept it. That's on us.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA, your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
For me to be here in the NBA organization, such a historic organization, the Chicago Bulls, so it's just a dream come true for me.
Live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday.
This is going to be a process. You'll snap your fingers and it all happens at once, but that's the plan moving forward.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day. Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app on the Nothing But Net channel. We're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. That's tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, writer of Bulls basketball and the NBA at FanRag Sports and College Hoops over at SB Nation. Along with me is Matt Peck, Bulls writer and NBA at FanRag Sports and the host of the 312 podcast. Follow us on social media on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls, and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Make sure you're following the Locked On Podcast Network on Facebook and Twitter as well. 331-979-1369. Hit us up, text and voicemail line there. Save that number in your phone as Locked On Bulls. Wherever you're listening to the show, whenever you're listening to the show, you want to interact with us, send us your questions, your comments, your voicemails. Going into the offseason now, we're going to be talking a lot about free agency, a lot about the draft, the playoffs obviously here too, a lot of storylines for former Bulls still in this playoff. So if you got anything that you want to comment on or a question you want us to answer or something you want to hear us discuss about on Locked On Bulls, send it to us at 331-979-1369. Happy Friday to Bulls Nation out there. Hopefully you've been enjoying all of the playoff action as our Bulls are in this offseason now. And obviously the storylines are going to dwindle down a little bit here as the first round of the playoffs is diving deeper and deeper. And until we get to the combine and the actual NBA lottery, a lot of it's going to be draft talk and speculation, but definitely some pretty interesting storylines. And Matt, first off, I have to say, Nico Mirotic is killing us, man. He is killing us. What's going on, though?
The beardless wonder, Jordan. What's going on, Bulls Nation? Happy Friday. Yeah, wow. I mean, I think everybody was taken aback when the Pels managed to win the first two games on the road against Portland. I think, you know, most people would have said Portland was a slight favorite just with the home court and that backcourt duo of Dame and CJ McCollum. But, I mean, the Pelicans, yeah, Nico has played great. I mean, he's averaging 21-9, and he's also doing things on the defensive end. 2.3 blocks per game, 1.7 steals per game. He's shooting 58% overall, 47.8% from downtown. And it's not just Nico. Jrue Holiday looks like one of the most underrated players in the league this season. He has been out of this world, and, I mean, what can't you say about Anthony Davis? That guy's lob like catch radius is insane. He had another ridiculous oop in game three last night where you're like, there's no way that where he is getting that lob thrown to him and where the basket is that he's giving, and like that guy can put anything in the hoop. It's remarkable. I just hope that Bulls fans aren't watching this Pelican series and watching Nico play thinking the Bulls made a mistake by trading him, because they didn't. You can enjoy watching peak Nico and say, man, wouldn't it have been great if that is the Nico that we got, because that was the Nico that was hyped in the draft. And it didn't pan out. And because of a lot of different reasons, the Bulls decided that he was not a part of their future plan. And regardless of a three-game hot streak in the playoffs, that doesn't change.
I'm glad you brought that up, and that's kind of the first thing that we want to talk about here is not only with the success Nico's having with the Pelicans, but also kind of want to just touch on Dwayne Wade's kind of flash in the pan performance the other night and how he's helping contribute for that Miami team, as well as
one of the dirtiest players in the NBA, by the way. Can we just touch on that real quick?
Oh,
did you see that move that he tried to pull on Justin Anderson?
Yeah, I did.
Dirty as hell.
All right. I did enough of my Dwayne Wade bashing for probably my lifetime while he was a Chicago Bull for the short, what was it, 14 months that he was. So I'm just going to kind of steer clear of that for a little while, but also kind of want to just touch on Rondo, Etuan Moore too on that Pelicans team, but mostly just have the conversation about Nico as well. Today on the show, we're going to get into some, maybe some free agent stuff. There was a question about Clint Capella and maybe the Bulls' interest there, as well as Jabari Parker. We had a voicemail left for us. We're going to do that in our second segment today. And then to finish up, going along with today is April 20th and 420, Bleacher Report is doing this series today that they're releasing with former NBA players and opening up the platform to have a conversation. So we're going to kind of talk about that and what to expect from Bleacher Report's coverage and maybe some of the coverage from all the other media that's surrounding the internet and kind of the new age now, as well as storylines that maybe might surprise you from Chicago Bulls ties as well for 420. But let's get back to the Nico conversation real quick, Matt, because you brought up the point here. A lot of fans have been chirping us over the last 12 hours or so and bringing up comments that we had said earlier in the season about Nico and before they had traded him. And I feel like it's unfair for people to pick and choose these comments, because you're right. The first thing that you said there was, don't think that just because Nico is thriving now with the Pelicans that he would have continued to do this with the Chicago Bulls. I think I said it, we said it best too when the situation happened with the fights and his hot streak came about, and we said, you know, Nico, this might be a flash in the pan for the Chicago Bulls, but in order for him, I think, to really take that next level, he knew that he might need he needed a new start somewhere else, and he got it with the Pelicans, and now he's really thriving. He's also playing alongside one of the top five players in the NBA right now in Anthony Davis, and like you had brought up, Drew Holiday has gone underrated, I think, all season long, and now we're suddenly getting him at a national stage too. So I'm with you, though. I don't think people should freak out about the Nico deal and figure that we got stiffed out of the deal, or we should have kept Nico around.
I mean, Bulls fans are allowed to be disappointed that the Pelicans had that late season surge. They won, I think they finished on a 4 or 5 game win streak to sneak into the playoffs, because for a while there in late March, early April, it looked like the Pels might actually fall out and thus into the lottery, and the Bulls would find themselves with two picks in the top 15. Which would have been the ideal outcome, the perfect scenario, if you're talking about the Bulls getting value for Nico. And now it's unfortunate that that pick is going to end up being 22nd as opposed to 14. That's a big drop. But even still, when you think about the complete lack of interest in Nico when he hit the free agent market last summer, the fact that the Bulls were still able to get a first-round draft pick for him at all is impressive. And the Nico versus Bobby thing, Bobby is 4 years younger than Nico, plain and simple. 4 years younger. And the trajectory of what this Bulls rebuild is trying to accomplish, keeping Bobby around makes more sense. And you have to, in turn, after the Bulls made that decision, look at the way that Bobby played this season, and especially the way that Bobby finished this season. Once they traded Nico, once Bobby's minutes were set in stone and he got an opportunity to prove himself, Bulls fans should feel pretty good about the Bulls' decision to keep Bobby around as opposed to keeping Nico, because one of them had to go. So they kept the one who was 4 years younger and in his own right had a great season. So, I mean, you can be wowed by Nico's playoff performance with the Pelicans. Good for him. I wish him, you know, extended success in his NBA career, but Nico's going to want big money. He's going to want big money, and the Bulls are not in a position where they are committing money to Zach LaVine, needing to commit money to Chris Dunn soon, needing to commit money to other pieces of this young rebuild. Paying Nico a big multi-year contract just didn't make sense.
Yeah, you can't have everything. You know, that's the thing. Like, Bulls fans, like, when they decided to start this rebuild, when they traded Jimmy Butler, and in the summer when nobody wanted to sign Nico Mirotic for $16 to $20 million over 3 or 4 years, the Bulls took a 1-1 on him with an option, and he played into that option and played into the value that the Bulls wanted. Ultimately, the Bulls got a first round pick, which it's really hard in the NBA to get a first round pick in a trade for anybody. And at that time, the Bulls, I felt like what the Bulls were trying to do and trying to acquire young assets, it was smart for them to trade Nico. And that's the thing too. even if he was successful, say the Bulls had kept him around, you know, for next year, and they wanted to see what was going on with him. Not only did you draft Lauri Markkanen at the same position where you want to see the most minutes you can out of him,
bingo,
and try and get him to develop. The other thing is, too, after 1 year, what happens if Nico lights the world on fire? Now you're in a position where you have to decide whether or not you have to overpay Nico to keep him around, or you just let him walk for nothing. So,
right, as he's getting close to 30 and on the backside of 30.
Right. So outside of that, like, my points even to the people that are bringing up old tweets from December that I had said, like, the four things that I said about Nico Mirotic in this situation was Nico had no value this summer in free agency, which was true. It makes more sense to move Nico for a team looking to tank. At the time, that was true too. Nico was helping the Bulls win unwarranted games. And the third and most important fact is Portis is 22 versus Nico's 26. Portis is extended through 2018, and he cost a fraction of what Nico would cost. And if you're trying to go after a superstar in 2019 or 2020, you don't want money locked up into Nico Mirotic, who, yeah, he's playing really well right now, and he had a really great season this year. But it doesn't do the Bulls any good because he's only signed through next year. So to go back to everything and to sum it up, the Bulls got what they needed. Nico Mirotic did what he needed for his career. It worked out for both sides. The Pelicans got what they wanted. The Bulls got what they wanted in a first-round pick. And Bobby Portis ended up being, you know, playing really well this season. So that was another plus, too. So both sides, I think, won in this. Nico Mirotic and the Chicago Bulls both won in both sides. It's cool to see Nico Mirotic lighting it up for the Pelicans. And it's cool to see him having success with Rondo as well.
Yeah, and I mean, gotta say, really enjoying watching playoff Rondo. It's fantastic. And then that's another thing that has been brought up on Bulls Twitter in the first few games of this Pels Blazer series. It's like, oh my gosh, like, remember how we were up 2-0 on Boston? And what if Rondo didn't break his thumb and missed the remainder of that series? Like, and I think, Jordan, you had a tweet about, you know, like, what if the Bulls actually did win that Boston series? Do you think they still would have blown it up and traded Jimmy, or would they have run it back and, you know, kept Rondo and kept Wade and done the three alphas part two? And it's a really curious hypothetical to think about if they did, but I still firmly believe that even though they won the first two games of that series, if Rondo doesn't break his thumb and Rondo still plays the remainder of that series, the Bulls still lose that series. It was a fun fluke that they won those first two games, but the Celtics were dealing with the tragedy of Isaiah Thomas and the loss of his sister, and then Isaiah Thomas also getting hurt with that hip injury. All the while, I mean, anyone who thinks that the Bulls were a healthy Rondo thumb away from actually making noise in last year's postseason are fooling themselves.
It's the fear of missing out on the playoffs. Now Bulls fans have that anxiety of seeing players that used to be on this team now having some success, you know, and that's the biggest thing. It's like, don't, like, you could sit here and what if yourself to death. And I posted that tweet on our Locked On Bulls page and said, you know, it's a fun hypothetical to think about what happens if they did run it back and Nico ended up being this player. But there's so many facets to where it could have gone wrong this season had they brought everybody back, right? Like, Nico Mirotic and Jimmy Butler did not have a great relationship. Jimmy Butler was struggling to figure out whether he was the face of this organization and whether they were going to try and let him be the number one. And there was that power struggle between them and the front office, and him and Dwayne Wade together versus the entire rest of the team, and Rajon Rondo having the younger guys back. Like, there's so many facets to this that could have made that season go wrong, and we're just kind of adding up all the pieces and say, well, you know, like, what we're seeing right now, if they all added together and had all these games together that were playing well, like, they're all in different circumstances now. Butler's playing really well with the Timberwolves. Nico and Rondo are playing amazing with the Pelicans. So I have a hard time believing that had they run it back again, that it would be this successful where these guys went other places. So that's just me, though.
Yeah. I mean, Nico was so minimalized because of the isolation kind of stuff that Jimmy and Dwayne Wade were running, which is not what Fred Hoiberg wants to do. You see in a... And an offense like the Pelicans, which is, you know, they have a dominant big, but they spread the ball around and they have a more than competent point guard in Drew Holiday to run the offense and distribute and find looks for Nico. And Nico would never become that player as long as he was playing with Jimmy and Dwayne Wade. So if they did run that back last season, it would have been the same frustrating, limited Nico. And in a different world, if the Bulls, instead of signing Rondo and Wade 2 summers ago, had actually, I don't know, decided to commit to Jimmy and try to build around him with players that shared Nico's abilities as perimeter shooters and cutters, maybe it would have gotten a little bit, we would have gotten more out of Nico. Maybe it would have worked a little bit better, but it still would have come down to Jimmy or Fred. Because the ball dominant player that Jimmy is, and we're seeing this Minnesota Timberwolves team struggle mightily in the first round, and partly it's just because the Rockets are really good, but Jimmy and Fred just didn't work. And the Bulls realized that and chose the coach over the player.
Completely agree with you. And so the anxiety that you're having of watching all these guys thrive now, just, you know, take it with a little bit of a grain of salt as you're watching this and be happy for the success that some of these players that went on to other teams are having. And it's fun to watch, but don't sit there and what if yourself to death. We got to take a quick break here on Locked On Bulls. We'll be back in 60 seconds. Going to take your questions about free agency, about Clint Capella and Jabari Parker. Stay with us right here on Locked On Bulls. All right, so we had a couple quick questions in our second segment here that we wanted to just touch on. We kind of got caught up and our episode ran long on our mailbag on Wednesday, so we just wanted to make sure we touched on both of these and felt like this was a good time to kind of just maybe take a quick look at free agency. And both players we're going to talk about are going to be restricted free agents this summer, but interesting pieces that maybe a tanking team would be interested. So we're going to start with Clint Capella. Matt, we had a listener ask us on Twitter whether or not the Bulls should look to pursue Clint Capella, especially if the Rockets try and go all in for LeBron this season. What do you think about the Bulls maybe entertaining the idea of bringing Clint Capella in, and do you think that there's any possibility that the Rockets would let him go, especially with his age and the success that he's had with that Rockets team?
Yeah, this is an interesting hypothetical, and there are a lot of different ways it can play out. You're saying, let's assume LeBron does leave and the place he wants to go is Houston and the Rockets need to free up the money to make that happen. Clint Capella would likely be a casualty of that scenario because you can't pay a budding star in Capella a long-term deal and also bring in LeBron. They just don't have the money to do that. In that scenario, Capella would then get a multitude of offers from a lot of different teams who see the promise of a young big who, I mean, look at the Rockets record. Have you seen that stat where when CP3, Harden, and Capella all play this season, they were something ridiculous? They were like, you know, 58-3 or something crazy like that. So clearly everybody is realizing just how valuable of a player Clint Capella is on both ends of the floor. The Bulls, with not really planning on being a major player in free agency in 2018, but waiting more into the summer of 2019 when their young core has developed more and they're a year closer to contending, I don't see their pitch being anywhere near as good as a lot of pitches that Capella will get this summer, assuming that the Rockets don't keep him themselves. And that's another just as likely, if not more likely, scenario, is that LeBron doesn't go to Houston. It just doesn't work for whatever reason. Or maybe he goes to Philly, or maybe he stays, or whatever. Maybe he goes to LA. The Rockets, realizing just how valuable Capella is, and Capella seeing, hey, even though the Warriors are still the Warriors, depending on what happens here, maybe the Rockets are defending champs this summer. And Capella says, you know what? I'll take a little bit of a pay cut to keep playing with Harden and CP3 because we can run this back and win another title next year. I'm still only 23 years old. I got another opportunity in my mid to late 20s to still sign a multi-year deal and make a boatload of cash. I'm gonna go after some rings while I have this opportunity. I think that's the most likely scenario, more likely than LeBron coming to Houston. But even if that does happen and the Rockets can't afford to pay him, the Bulls are nowhere near the top of that list for Capella.
Yeah, and I'm with you too. I don't see really a scenario where all of those things kind of shake out, where LeBron commits to Houston. I could see it as a possible destination, and I'm very interested. I think it's going to hinder on kind of what these playoffs look like and where this turns out. So I'm glad you kind of brought up that point that if they turn out to be the defending champions, you know, after this summer's over, Clint Capella probably would stay around, and I feel like they would bring back that core. And if LeBron decides to go elsewhere, that pretty much shuts the door on any of this conversation, because if they're not going after LeBron, they're pretty much bringing Capella back on a long-term deal. I feel like there's a couple other teams out there that would probably be fishing the market as well. Like, let's not forget, Atlanta still has a ton of money to spend as well. Like, I know that's not really a hot destination right now, but Atlanta's going to have a top pick. They had a top pick last year. So they've got some young pieces there, and it looks like maybe their coach will stick around as well. So I don't know. If he's looking for the big payday and the Rockets can't afford to keep him around, then maybe he does look elsewhere. But I don't know. I mean, like, the guy is a phenomenal player, and I just don't know what the market as far as money wise would be for a guy like Clint Capella. But I could imagine, like, could you imagine him playing alongside Lauri Markkanen? That would be a whole hell of a lot of fun, especially just to kind of open things up offensively for Lauri Markkanen. He wouldn't have to focus so much on rebounding or shot blocking. That would be sort of Clint Capella's game, and I think it would just open so many things for Lauri Markkanen. Obviously, we're sitting here dreaming, so yes, I would be very interested in Clint Capella.
It's a fun dream. It's a fun dream picturing Capella and Markkanen playing together in a starting Bulls front court. But and it's a fun conversation to have. But no, not happening. Not happening, bro.
Hey guys, what's up, Mike in Chicago? Hey, I was wondering. I wanted to pose a question about, what about the Bulls signing Jabari Parker? I know that we're probably not thinking free agency quite yet, and when we're not thinking about free agency, we're also probably not thinking about signing that kind of guy, but I feel like, I don't know, I feel like he could be a perfect fit in the Bulls system. I know he's got the knee injuries, and it would be a gamble, but I feel like we could get him at a discounted rate. He's a major talent, and I think he'd really fit. What do you guys think?
So, Matt, this is an interesting story, and we've been hearing, like, over the last 24 hours, there have been some interesting quotes with Jabari Parker in terms of his playing time with the Bucks and sort of his fit. And we kind of heard this, too, when Jason Kidd was pushed out of Milwaukee and sort of the disconnect that him and Jabari Parker had there in just the playing time. And it seems like that's kind of rolled over with their interim head coach. And so I don't know, like, Jabari Parker went and said after their loss to the Celtics, he said Jabari Parker was very animated talking about his frustration right now with limited minutes. He mentioned the only way to see the floor more was to be on the coach's good side. When asked if he was on Prunty's good side, he smirked and said, I don't think so. Prunty was kind of taken back by those comments. But what do you make of this whole Jabari Parker situation? And it sounds like he's pretty much gone next season. I know he's a restricted free agent, but with all this tension, especially coming on in the playoffs, and this is just like a kind of a distraction, the jealousy of being surpassed by Giannis Antetokounmpo, there's that, and then there's the multiple knee injuries from a number two pick and not getting sort of what he feels like he is owed as a number two pick. How do you feel about this situation and maybe taking a look at bringing Jabari Parker in this summer, at least maybe on a cheap deal?
No. I feel like Michael Scott when he sees Toby has come back to the office. Like, no. Please, God, no. Like, I don't know how many times we need to have this conversation, but no. It's interesting what's going on with Jabari and the Bucks in this playoff series, where they have been, you know, right there, like, close with the Celtics, but couldn't find a way to get wins in either of the first two games. Parker has played 25 playoff minutes and is a minus 29 in those 25 minutes. Dude's averaging 1 point per game. He's shooting 14%. It's unfortunate that this kid and a Chicago product is having such a tough time in the NBA, and you have to feel sorry for him a little bit. But Giannis is the star, right? They're trying to build around that kid because he is a superstar, a bona fide superstar who could be one of the top five best players in the league and is probably already top 10. Jabari Parker is not. And even just watching him play and watching the first couple of games of that Bucks-Celtics series, Parker gets in the way of allowing Antetokounmpo to be peak Greek freak. He messes up the floor spacing. He's not spatially aware of the parts of the floor where the Greek freak needs his space. He doesn't look like a smart basketball player, and he is not, over the last couple of years, a healthy basketball player. If the Bulls even sniff at this guy, I would be mind exploding. No, it's unfortunate. I feel sorry for the kid. And clearly he's upset that he's not getting what he feels is his due chance to prove his worth in this playoff series, coming off the bench and only getting, 12 or 15 minutes a game. But I'm sorry. And I know he had a strong stretch at, towards the end of the regular season for the Bucks, but he's unusable in the series against Boston. And with all of the different coaching clashing and teammate clashing that's been going on and reported in Milwaukee, the Bulls would be stupid to look at bringing that guy in here, because it would just be a headache and probably wasted money.
Look, I've got a couple things on this. It sort of goes in line with not only these headlines with Jabari Parker, but kind of the player, the person, the teammate that he is. And obviously we don't cover the Bucks. We don't pay a whole lot of attention. We don't have a lot of details about what kind of player, what kind of teammate that he is. But just some of the quotes, and I think some of the frustrations that have come out, especially this season with Jabari Parker, should be kind of alarming to some of the Parker fans out there that want the Bulls to at least entertain the idea of bringing him in. First of all, two ACL injuries, and he's not even 23 years old, or he just turned 23. Two ACL injuries, that's a huge red flag for me, especially when you add on top of the fact that you're about to sign Zach LaVine to an extension at 4 years, $80 to maybe $100 million this offseason. He's coming off just an ACL injury as well. So you want to sign two guys to big money, or, relatively big money. I know Jabari Parker's contract would be a little bit shorter, a little bit less money, but still, you want to bank on two guys to be a part of this core and developing with two ACL injuries. And then LaVine with his ACL injury, that to me is a red flag.
Guess what? He plays the same position as Markkanen.
Yes.
Like, he plays the same position as Markkanen and Bobby. And we want to invest in the futures of those two. So, I guess you could have some lineups where Parker's playing the three. But, do you really want that? The Bulls need a strong 3-and-D wing, and that is not what Parker is at all.
It rubs me the wrong way to hear some of these frustrations about him feeling like he's owed minutes, and that instead of trying to play his way into the lineup, he's using it as excuses to be on good sides of the coaches and kind of blaming these weird things on him not getting playing time and seeing limited minutes. And this is another thing too, coming from Giannis. This was the other night, a reporter had asked him sort of his thoughts on Jabari Parker, and I think this sums it up completely. This is the perfect summation of what it is to be a leader and a superstar in this league, and what it is to feel like you're owed something in this league because of where you were drafted. So just listen to this. So reporter said, Jabari Parker told us he was frustrated with his playing time or lack of playing time in the first game especially. How can you guys as teammates help him through that? Giannis says, of course we got to talk to him, and as I said, make him known that we need him. Glad to stay into the game, gotta stay focused. No matter what's going on, you gotta stay locked in and do whatever it takes to help the team. How many minutes did he play in that first game? Reporter says, 14. Giannis says, I don't remember that. I remember we lost. That's what I remember. It's not about playing time, it's not about minutes, it's not about nothing in the playoffs. It's about just winning. Come back to your home, protecting that home. Hopefully we can get this first win, then work for that second win, and then go back out there. That's what it's all about. And then the reporter followed up with, do you see that frustration from him, though? Giannis said, a lot of people were frustrated with a lot of things, but as I said, these are the playoffs. We don't have time. Our margin for error is not that big. We don't have that time for that. We've got to show up as a team and get this W. I'm frustrated. I'm supposed to shoot the ball more. You know what I'm saying? But I care in winning, and once we're all on the same page, I think everything is going to be a lot easier for everybody to play. So how do you react to that from a guy that is your leader on the team and saying everything a leader should say, especially from a young guy, and then you compare it to Jabari Parker's comments? What do you think about that?
I mean, I think to me it's pretty clear. The Bucks will do everything they can to convince Giannis that they, as a small market team, have what it takes to be contenders in the East in years to come as LeBron ages or maybe leaves Cleveland or whatever else, that they can put players around Giannis to go blow to blow with Philadelphia that looks like the other emerging powerhouse in the East. And, you know, as long as the Kyrie and Hayward and Horford Celtics are around, that the Bucks have what it takes to try to contend with those two teams to get out of the East and into the finals. And they want Giannis to be the leader and to be the guy. And he's saying all the right things. And I wish that the Bucks can actually finally accomplish that and put the right pieces around him. Middleton is a strong piece, a quality role player, you know, a nice second option, or probably should be third option. And Parker just doesn't fit into this at all. He is a guy who feels like he's owed something based on where he was drafted and hasn't proven it and is a little salty that everybody in Milwaukee is in love with the Greek Freak. And those words from Giannis and the very contradictory and opposite words from Parker basically to me mean that Parker is done. He's gone. I don't think he's coming to Chicago, but he's not going to be in Milwaukee next season. That relationship has run its course. Giannis is the guy. He should be the guy. And you know, hopefully Parker finds himself a role somewhere in the NBA. But that's, you know, he's not going to win over a lot of favor talking like that.
I'm with you on that, too. And look, I get it. He's been through two ACL injuries. When he was drafted at the time, he was supposed to be the face of this Bucks organization. And Giannis leaped him while he was dealing with both these ACL injuries and battled a lot of being able to stay healthy. But it's what you do with that.
Very similar to the D. Rose versus Jimmy situation in Chicago.
I was just going to bring that up. And I said, and I feel like it's the way you deal with this adversity that really transforms the way you're going to be a player and how long you're going to stay in this league. And believe me, I can't imagine having to deal with all of that and the scrutiny and the pressure and all of that. I get it, but the way it's kind of shaking out now doesn't sort of look good for Jabari Parker. And it's not exactly like Derrick Rose, but you can understand the similarities there, where Jimmy Butler leapfrogged Derrick Rose after two ACL injuries. People started to fall in love with Butler and saying that this was his team, and Derrick didn't like that, and there was the back and forth. So I think it's more clear-cut in Milwaukee than it was here in Chicago, but definitely an interesting story. But to kind of sum it up, I would be interested to entertain the offer, but it's got to be for like 1 year prove it deal or 1-1 at somewhere around $8 to $10 million. To me, okay, I'm worth it. I'm in for that.
Not even that. Stay away. Steer clear. Not even that. Not even a 1 year prove it. Nope. Not gonna do it. Won't do it. Wouldn't be prudent.
All right, gotta take another short break here. Be back in 60 seconds to wrap up everything leading you into the weekend. Be right back. Stay here with us on Locked On Bulls.
Weed. You come on that, and then you come on TV, and you come on national TV. Oh, Stephen A. He gotta look out. Look out for what? Weed. Weed. Really?
You can't smoke weed. Period.
Weed. Stay off the weed. Who are you, Snoop Dogg in a green room? I mean, what the hell is going on? You want to sit there and stay on the weed?
And you can't stay off the weed.
It's stay off the weed. Millions of dollars, and you can't stay off the weed.
Get off the weed.
Because you want to smoke some weed. You couldn't stay off the weed. He ain't getting busted for using weed.
All right, to wrap up the show, kind of want to have the conversation, and obviously with it being April 20th, 420, want to have the conversation more as it's getting prevalent in not only the NBA, but it's been a conversation, a hot topic among sports in general, professional sports, collegiate athletics. It's become more prevalent in our society in general, and the use of marijuana in not only sports, but our everyday lives. In a lot of states with it legalized in this country already, it's bringing up conversations about whether players should be allowed to use it as pain relief, or is it something that the NBA, and you know, you can even look outside the NFL, who's had this conversation over and over again, about, you know, letting players, you know, who test positive for it not face repercussions of suspensions, fines, things like that. So Bleacher Report is doing this thing today where they're opening up the conversation for former players in basketball to have the conversation openly about what it could do for the benefits of basketball and for players in general who would be allowed to use marijuana in the league. And it's pretty interesting. They've got Matt Barnes and Al Harrington and a few other guys doing a roundtable discussion. And I think this is the start, really, I feel like it's the start of a major platform having this conversation, especially on a day like today where this is going to be a topic all around the world. So what do you take as this, whether or not players should be allowed to use this, if the crackdown should really be as heavy as it is in the NBA or in the NFL or in professional sports in general, as we're having this conversation, where does this stick for you as far as a hot topic or something that maybe the NBA should explore a little bit more?
Yeah, this is a fascinating topic that I think will come to the forefront across professional sports in the coming years. As we sit here today, April 20th of 2018, 9 states plus Washington, D.C. have legalized recreational usage across the board for people age 21 and above. 29 other states have legalized some form of medical cannabis, including Illinois. There is a medical marijuana dispensary around the corner from my apartment here in Wrigleyville. It is 2 blocks north of Wrigley Field. Medical marijuana dispensary. I honestly, and the Al Harrington documentary, the video doc that he did, I want to say last year or the year before, I can't remember the platform, maybe Uninterrupted or Players Trib, was great. And he sat down with David Stern, former NBA commissioner, who said, I think that there's something to this, and I think that this can help. If it does help our NBA players, and there's all these testimonials from players saying that it helped me with my chronic pain, no pun intended, playing through, helping myself in the offseason. I mean, you look at the heroin epidemic that's in our country right now and the problem with pharmaceutical painkillers. What is a better alternative? What has always been a better alternative? Marijuana. And look, you don't even have to, you can take out the negative connotation of like, oh, well, we're just going to let all the professional athletes turn into stoners and et cetera, et cetera. Even just with, even without a medical marijuana card, you can go and buy like CBD oil and topical ointments and things like that that have the THC removed from them. And I might be showing my hand a little bit right now as far as a guy who, in my youth and in my past, I mean, I lived in the state of California for over a year, and I got a medical marijuana card while I was there because I enjoyed using marijuana, and if I could, I certainly was going to do it legally. There are so many benefits to what it can do for people with a variety of symptoms, and I think it is foolish and short-sighted to just still believe in this stupid, you know, 1980s war on drugs BS that is just really marijuana. We know so much more about it now than we did 20 or 30 years ago. And we know all of these different ways that it can help these players. Adam Silver needs to make this, looking at this, a real priority. Because right now we're in this sticky middle ground of saying, all right, so what if you're a player who plays on a team in a state where recreationally it's legal? Or even if you have a recommendation from your doctor, from a team doctor that says, hey, you know what, some cannabis oil or some edibles or whatever it might be, if that's going to help treat your symptoms right now, your pain, absolutely that is better than, you know, throwing a bunch of painkillers down your throat. It is absolutely something that Adam Silver has to address in the coming years.
I'm with you on this entirely because I think about it in the way that maybe it hasn't been so prevalent in the NBA as far as the talk about pain relief, but the conversation that's happening in the NFL, I think, with the players, and if you listen to players who specifically talk about the way that they deal with pain and some of the guys and how easy it is for them to get prescription drugs and how these guys become addicted to it and it ruins lives. And I think it's what you said, very short-sighted for professional leagues not to listen to their players. players and not to listen to them and understand that outside of what happens in this league, once these players retire, some of the things that they were doing for pain reduction to keep these players and their careers and their longevity in this league to not help them out after the after they retire, I think is sad. And to just completely earmark and remove the negative connotation with weed now in 2018, I think it would be short-sighted not to do that and at least open up the conversation. And I think the one thing that I appreciate the most now is more and more platforms are giving former players and athletes, not even just in the NBA, across the board. Like this Bleacher Report article, it has Ricky Williams in it, and it's got guys that like Gary Payton, who were phenomenal players in the NBA and huge in their time, talking about the benefits that it has to players and what they did during their time in the NBA and how you know, it's not as taboo as you might think or some people might think out there. So whatever your connotation is about weed, about marijuana in professional sports, I can see it from some other players who might be against it, you know, teammates and guys who have never used it before, don't think it has any benefit and don't like the idea of, okay, if they loosen their rules, I don't want guys showing up to my practice high. I don't want guys showing up to games or times that are supposed to be important, you know, film study. And I don't want to always have to question whether or not they're 100% with us or if they're high or what's going on. So I can understand it from that standpoint too. But I think at least opening the conversation, and for Bleacher Report to do this, who's tied to Turner Broadcasting, and also SB Nation has done this as well, and they're doing their part to push it. I know radio and television has kind of been scaled back a little bit and they can't have these conversations, but I think it's really cool for online platforms to be able to talk about these things and to not only educate, have athletes educate the public, but also fans and everybody else, just opening up the conversation in general, I think is really, really cool for the league.
Yeah, and I mean, another name that you can mention is Steve Kerr, former Bull, current head coach of the Golden State Warriors.
Very true.
And over the past couple of seasons has missed considerable time on the bench because of his, you know, severe back injury and the intense pain that has gone along with that. And he has spoken openly about the fact that he was recommended by his doctor medical cannabis and that he tried it and it wasn't necessarily for him. He said he didn't enjoy some of the, you know, the other side effects of how using cannabis made him feel. But he said, in spite of that, you know, it wasn't the perfect solution for me, but I absolutely can see how it can benefit people, and made that comparison that you and I have both made, which is, I mean, what is the alternative? The alternative is guys who end their careers early because they are dealing with intense pain or are developing pharmaceutical painkiller addictions, which is far worse than smoking some weed, ingesting some weed, using topical weed ointments that works and is far less dangerous and far less bad for you.
I think there, if there's anybody to really make a stance or to a push, I would feel like Adam Silver is that type of guy, especially with the things he's already done with this league outside of this, but just in hot topics in general, very progressive, and the way the league is very progressive. It makes the most sense that the NBA would maybe become the first league to just sort of get behind this. But I don't know if that's not, it's not like it's going to start today, but obviously the conversation that a lot of these platforms are allowing to open up is very good. And so I would definitely say the conversation is going to continue to happen and former players are going to continue to push for this. The last thing I got to bring up on this topic, Matt, because I was doing a little bit of research, just the connections in the NBA this morning. What can you explain this selling weed out of the back of his car, caught in 2004, this whole story? Because number one, I don't remember a Sidekick mascot. Maybe I was too young to remember this Sidekick mascot, this cousin of the Benny the Bull, but apparently this guy got caught in 2004 for selling weed out of the back of his trunk. Do you remember this story at all? Anybody, any fans out there who might remember this story, do you remember this at all?
I absolutely remember that story of Da Bull getting busted for slinging some dope from his car, because there is a somewhere in one of my mom's old family photo albums, there is a picture of me with Dub Bull's arm around me and my friends and siblings when we were at a Bulls game in 96, 97, 98, somewhere in that second three-peat at the United Center. And Dub Bull came to our section and we got a picture taken with him. And so I vividly have that memory because it was like, wow, oh, like I got my picture taken with one of the Bulls mascots. This is awesome. I was like, yeah, it's kind of like the second knockoff, Benny the Bull. Not quite as good, but it was still a great childhood memory. And then I remember reading about that later, you know, however, 7-8 years later when he got busted. And I was like, oh, my God, like I have a picture of me as a kid with that guy. That's crazy. And it's just kind of a silly thing that And when you go back and read the article, it was he had like 4 or 5 ounces in his that he was selling, and a scale in his car that he was, you know, selling weed out of. Certainly not some like mass operation. Guy was probably just like selling eighths to some people he knew, some fellow co-workers, employees, friends that he met through, you know, through working at the United Center. Like, what's so wrong with that? Come on. I can't remember what kind of sentence he was given. I hope he didn't serve real jail time, because you look at the amount of people incarcerated in the United States right now for selling dime bags, and it is one of the most frustrating,
absolutely
unjust things that is going on in our country right now. So, Dub Bull, if you're still a Bulls fan and listening to this podcast, thanks for the photo in, you know, 96 or 97, whenever that was, and stay strong, power to the people, legalize.
The Bulls just don't have good a string of luck with their mascots in the mid-2000s. It didn't seem like wasn't there a story about Benny the Bull too, the former Benny the Bull that used to play him? Something happened with him as well. There was a storyline about him as well. I can't remember the story, and it's not worthy of bringing it up, but very to tie it along, just I had to get a kick out of that because I don't remember the story. So if you do remember that, feel free to send us a text or a voicemail of what you remember about that, because I would love to hear it, hear the stories about that as well. Or if anything else that comes up on your mind, hit us up at 331-979-1369. If you want to dive into this conversation that we were having here at the end of the show or anything that we talked about today, we'd love to hear from you. So once again, text us or leave us a voicemail at 331-979-1369. That's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Thank you for spending your Friday afternoon, Friday morning, or this weekend with us. Remember, we're live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. That's tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. Follow us on social media at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. And subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. For the third and last time, 331-979-1369. Hit us up, text and voicemail line. Make sure you're following the Locked On Podcast Network on Facebook and Twitter as well. For Matt Peck, for Jordan Malley, Bulls Nation, have a wonderful weekend. If you are somebody celebrating 420, happy celebrations to you as well. We are out. Have a great one, Bulls Nation.
And you're getting high in the middle of the afternoon off some weed.
Stay off the weed.
What's next? What's next? I don't know. Codeine, weed, alcohol. What's next?
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com, part of FanRag Sports.